welcome to another live recording of the Business Travel 360 Linking the Travel Industry podcast, where we discuss travel industry news you are talking about on LinkedIn. My name is Rian, and I'm one of your hosts today. I'm the CEO at Agentivity, where we have a vision that any TMC should be data empowered. You can read about just how we make that possible at agentivity.com.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Anne, and I'm a consultant with LeapShift, happy to help you with anything related to retailing, NDC, One Order and Distribution. I also work as an instructor both with IOTA and Aeroclass.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ash, and I'm the host of a weekly business travel podcast called What's Up in Business Travel, where we give you only the important updates in under 15 minutes. Also, I'm the vice president at Traxo, and this is Linking the Travel Industry.
So welcome to the new faces in the audience. Thank you for joining us. Familiar faces as well. Thank you for giving us your time on a Monday. We really appreciate it. If you're new to this event, the format of this discussion evolves around last week's news. Last week was week 11. And one of the main stories that came up, the first one that came up, was an acquisition by Amadeus in the Spanish payment firm Voxel. And apparently, according to the press release, it just allows them to focus a bit more on, in quote, further automate the business travel experience. And they are saying that they specialize in digital invoicing and B2B payment solution. They did not disclose the amount. And we should have probably asked Paul van Alphen for his comments on this story. Sensible acquisition by Amadeus, or?
My thoughts are they've been in the payment space for quite some time, right? You know, yet another acquisition. I mean, from what I can see from Future Travel and the comments is that this is, you know, obviously they do a very good business, but I don't know enough about the company, Voxel, at all. Hopefully, I mean, if it can improve, those areas certainly need improvement.
What are they trying to solve?
Yeah.
Invoice automation. Are they just simply the company that helps with invoicing? They're also processing payment. And then does this have anything with the virtual cards at all?
Like you say, they will find that story that they didn't finish from the marketing from last year and go, oh yes, we have this one as well.
That'll be the fourth this year if that happens.
And so I have a question. What is a digital invoice if just not an invoice sent via an email? Is there a difference, or am I being a bit silly?
No, that's what it is. It's an email invoice.
Okay. Okay.
Versus a paper invoice, which I'm kind of surprised that we're still talking about today. And then the other thing in all of this that is interesting is that are they trying to solve for another issue that a lot of companies have, which is the ability to have enough funds to pay for things? And then it seems like there's a little level of that in there with invoice payment as well.
Invoice payments, okay. I tell you, who will know is our friend Mohit has just joined us. He's got a ton of insight into this.
Hello, guys. Yes, because, you know, we've been following VCC news, so, you know, we could relate that this is similar to the fintech stories. It's actually nothing related to VCCs, but we continue to see more travel players, you know, invest on the fintech side. I looked up Voxel, I think, and Anne was correct. They've been around for about 25 years now. Last year, they did their highest ever business of about 18 million euros, which was impressive. So I think this could be a good move. I see Amadeus trying to diversify more into, you know, venture out into more branches. And I think that is what I'm reading out of this.
I saw in the news that Munich Airport is introducing a robot which is going to sell snacks and drinks to travelers in the airport. But unfortunately, I don't know if you saw the picture of that robot and that they made it look a bit silly, right? It looks like a real toy as opposed to a proper thing that's going to come around and sell you stuff. But nonetheless, they've done it. Would you buy a drink or a snack from a robot?
It didn't show on the picture. How does it provide what it's selling? I mean, or does it actually, you know, go and fetch something for you or give you a menu card? But yeah, of course I'd buy it from a robot. Yeah, of course. You know me.
Gosh, what are you thinking?
Okay, so number one, I think that the way it looks is on purpose because it's designed to put a smile on your face, right?
Yeah.
When you see this thing, you have to smile. It makes you feel a little bit, I guess, like a kid again. A little happiness kicks in, right? And of course, after you've gone through security and check-in, you kind of need this kind of support. So from that perspective, I think that there's a couple of layers to this robot other than just the fact that it's serving drinks. I mean, I personally love this. Almost every airport now has a robotic process of some sort running. There's cleaning robots at airports now. The other day, I just went to a restaurant and there was a robot taking everybody's trays back to the back of the room. This is what we've been waiting for a long time.
I have a feeling, Anne, that what it does is it takes your order, goes and fetches it, and it has a little thing in its belly where it opens up and you can get it with a QR code. I think that's how it's worked. But next time you're in Munich Airport, you should try it and let us know. Next story, Virgin Voyages. This caught my eye because this is in the sort of community that I'm in. They are targeting digital nomads with a month-long cruise package. It's apparently a saving of about $3,000 compared to going with them on a month-long cruise, still costing about $10,000 for two sharing. It includes a few perks like unlimited internet. And by the way, they have just done a deal with Starlink, so they are putting good internet on their ships. It's all-inclusive eating and that sort of stuff. There's a few additional costs that you might have to incur. Still quite a steep price, but it's interesting for me that they are focusing specifically on people wanting to work remotely and travel at the same time. I did put the feelers out to some of the people in my community, and they were saying it's an interesting angle, a bit pricey, but you can rent a very nice Airbnb for a month at 10 grand. There's obviously the advantage of the cruise aspect and, you know, the destinations and the sort of, you know, atmosphere on the boat, that sort of thing. Some of them are saying they might have missed the boat a little bit, excuse the pun, by not thinking about nomad type events that could happen, such as masterminds or workshops or stuff like that, or making sure you can meet up with other nomads that you wanted to spend some time with, doing some business planning, that sort of stuff. But still, interesting for me that this is where they are going. I'm keen to see what's the uptake here. What are your thoughts, Ash, on this one?
For me, I don't really quite get the appeal. I mean, I get the appeal of the cruise itself, but I'm not really sure about the angle where they're trying to target a certain group of people or anything like that. For me, it's just very simply that it looks like an adult cruise for a month.
Okay, these are people working, I do think so. I think Mohit, you had a comment on the story, right?
You know, so after capturing the fascination of many countries and now issuing, which are now issuing, you know, multiple digital nomad visas, and in most cases, these are tax-free. So I think now the travel industry is warming up to this idea. So hotels, resorts, and now cruises also. I think this is a good development with more demand. I think Virgin Voyages, they already stated in their article, right? So they only came up with around 40 passes. They got so many queries that they're already looking at expanding this. So I think this is a good move.
Really? You know that, right? They've already got so many inquiries about this specific thing.
Yes.
Ah, okay. And surely this is appealing to you, right? Provided you like cruises.
Absolutely. Very appealing. And, you know, I think also what's good is that they experiment. And this is a very interesting and very lucrative target group. We know that. So go for it. And clearly we see the demand.
Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't know that they had such a great interest already. So thanks for sharing that. That is very interesting. Next story, on a very serious note, the Boeing whistleblower John Barnett was found dead in his vehicle. Created a lot of discussion, not just on here, but obviously on the mainstream media. But a very serious turn of events. Ash, I would love to hear your thoughts on this.
I have a lot of personal feeling towards the story because I actually interviewed John Barnett about a year and a half, 2 years ago. We were talking about all the Boeing issues and he was willing to go on record with that story. I never released that podcast, by the way, because there was just so many weird things happening during the interview. His home phone just died. His lawyers felt that he was being tapped. We kind of never released that story. It's such a shocker that this happened. And of course, we know all the issues that are happening on the Boeing side. The fact is that it just seems too strange that with Boeing under all the scrutiny that it is, investigations occurring, supposed to go to the court case in June. Case is still coming up. And John was very, very instrumental in getting the stories about Boeing out because he was actually a quality control manager at Boeing. And he had seen firsthand all the issues at Boeing that were happening that he'd be about. And he saw a lot of safety issues occurring. So when he retired and went to the press, the New York Times, it was a pretty big story at that time. And of course, no one was paying attention to him because all the issues that we're talking about today never occurred back then. We only got these stories amplified now because of the Alaska Airlines. John has a lot of statements that he made that was absolutely true.
Wow. I mean, you did mention this to me, but it's incredible to hear again that you did interview him and speak to him. And I don't know if you have any comments.
Like Ash said, it's very interesting that you did interview him. Tragic. I was really shocked when this came out.
Absolutely. Another one that made the news last week was SpotNana announcing that they've launched a tool to help arrange event-related travel. Interesting, of course, much needed. There is quite a lot of that that's not being well served. So I didn't actually see more about this. I don't know if you know anything more about this, Anne, or whether you managed to see something about it or just read it like I did.
I was actually reaching out to Johnny to try to get some more information on this. It was a bit unclear to me. I mean, it wasn't booking. It was more like a planning functionality. And yes, this is an area that really needs to be modernized.
It does have a booking component. From the article, it seems to be like a very pretty handy tool for coordination and getting things. But I don't know if this is the first time from the travel tech company such tools are coming out.
I think this is the first time in my opinion, but no corporate booking tool, I think, has solved the non-profile one-time traveler who's coming in to visit your company. So this kind of puts a little bit of a online experience and puts this in a nice package where you have a lot of different elements like invitation, payment, and booking all connected to each other. So I think that that's what makes this unique. I don't think there's another one that quite does all of these things that I just mentioned.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. Okay.
Yeah. And I think the cherry on the top is the NDC content then.
Johnny will say to you, the cherry on the top if there's no PNR. Yeah. I had to get that in. I'm sure he won't mind. That's okay. So let me just take a moment to turn to the audience. We're not done. We are not halfway through. We're actually a bit more than halfway through, but we're not done. I just want to turn to the audience and say thank you for giving us your time today. We really do appreciate it. And it's nice to see some new faces in the audience as well. The purpose of linking the travel industry is to make sure that as many of us are connected to one another as possible. So do go through the audience list there and reach out and make new connections. We do encourage that. Each week we pick someone to be our link of the week. And this week, I hope I'm going to pronounce your surname correctly, the link of the week is Virginia Perot. Virginia, thank you for being here. You are connecting to us all the way from Montevideo in Uruguay, and you work at Sabre, if I'm not mistaken. So thank you for joining us, and I hope you enjoy the event, and well done for being our link of the week. Thank you once again. Okay, and then I had another story on my list, another acquisition that happened, that's going to happen. Hilton Hotels and Resorts is going to acquire Graduate Hotels for $210 million. I saw a bit of information about Graduate Hotels. They have a very specific sort of theme type interior. I don't know, Ash, if you know more about them or can tell us more about them.
They're all about universities and colleges, so they have hotels specifically in that area. And they're not a old hotel company. They actually are just about 10 years old. So Hilton is looking at this as a way to connect with all the young travelers, right? Because the first time you travel is probably when you go to college. So in that way, I think they're kind of getting their hands around a very early stage traveler, which is good for them, right? So there's a little bit of a reason for them. And they're not actually buying the company because the company is still be owned by the original owners. This is just a franchise agreement for all existing Graduate Hotel properties and anything that's in the pipeline right now. Yeah.
That makes sense. It sounds like a good deal.
$200 million is kind of low, right?
So. Yeah. Okay, no, that sounds like a good deal. So absolutely. I don't know, Anne, do you have an extra story from your side?
There was only one thing I spotted, and that was that Finnair announced that they're also introducing, I never know whether it's Avius or it's Avius or what is it, but they're introducing Avius as the loyalty currency.
I thought your extra story was going to be about the CEO at Play Airlines.
Yes, I saw that I actually just sent that to you. I just saw it today that the CEO of Play very surprisingly leaves today. I was very surprised by that.
I think so were many people.
yeah. I don't think I'm the only one. No, absolutely not. Yeah, no.
I'm going to ask Ash if he's got any...
Space news!
All right, did you guys watch the Starship takeoff on Saturday morning?
I did, actually.
Don't you find the rockets underneath that to be so fascinating, the engines that are running? Like that nice lighted up bottom. It looks like almost like something you would see coming from space to Earth for the first time. It's just remarkable what this thing looks like.
You know what's the thought that struck me? It doesn't look man-made. It looks alien-made. So, yes. I did see that. Yeah,
it does. You're absolutely right. Right. So anyway, SpaceX had a huge takeoff this Saturday with the Starship. And of course, the Starship, unlike the previous versions, has actually gone further than ever before. I sound like a Star Trek commercial right now. Has traveled further than ever before. Unfortunately, the Starship upon return, it actually exploded. It didn't quite make it back down, but it was never intended to make it down because they were going to have it go into the ocean. So unfortunately, it erupted into flames upon re-entry. But nonetheless, it was a very successful attempt for SpaceX on the Starship launch. This is actually the third time that they have attempted to do this. And this time it actually was able to perform much better than the previous two.
Yeah, it was very cool. I think that's a wrap for today. So just to say to the audience, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you to Anne and Ash and Mohit for your comments. And well done to Virginia for being our link of the week. Over to you, Anne.
Thanks, everyone. And a special shout out to Virginia for being our link of the week.
Thank you all for joining today's live recording of Linking the Travel Industry. We record this podcast live every Monday, and it is all about linking the travel industry. Please do share this event with everyone that you know. Chances are high that if you enjoyed today's session, others that you know will as well. If you are ever missing this session because of time zone or availability, we make this available as a podcast on businesstravel360.com. This is Linking the Travel Industry, signing off.